If you have your Bibles this morning, and turns with me, Psalms 111, and begin in verse 7. It says, "The works of his hands are truth and justice, and all his precepts are sure." So the works of his hands, the works of God's hands, is Jesus Christ. Jesus was an instrument that God used to bring salvation and redemption to mankind. We forget that Jesus was that instrument. Jesus was not to be a religion. Jesus was not to be glorified by man. If the glory of Jesus is all you have, and it doesn't lead to the worship and the obedience that God requires of us after becoming his children, then you are worshiping a different Jesus. Paul even warned us of this, that if someone comes and teaches a different Jesus than we taught, to be aware. There's only one Jesus that's taught, and that Jesus leads us to that relationship to God, to the Holy Holies, that we can't wait to come in here and worship. We can't wait. We delight in his commandments. We want the correction of the Holy Spirit so that we're pleasing to the Father, and that's the new spirit that we have within us. And yet you don't see that today with this other Jesus that's being taught, this other Jesus that's, you know, I don't know in here where we're supposed to just tell people about Jesus. We're supposed to tell people why Jesus came is what we're really supposed to do. That's what the gospel is. But you see that oh, go tell everybody about Jesus. Go tell everybody about Jesus. Well, how's that working for us? How's that working for us? Not very well, is it? Because just telling people about Jesus doesn't do anything if we don't tell why Jesus came. If we don't tell people why God sent him. Because there's a wrath coming because of sin. And he came to save us from that wrath. He came to change us from the state of that natural state that we're in and give us a spiritual state of being. So we walk above the flesh and not carry out the desires of the flesh. And you just don't tell people that, oh, Jesus died on a cross and saved you from your sin and just believe in him and you're going to go to heaven, because there's no truth in that. There's no truth in that at all. That's a lie. That's a religious lie that people want to hang on to so that they can feel good about themselves and their eternity when they haven't even begun to know what this is all about. And this is why he says the works of his hands are truth. Jesus said, "I am the truth, I am the way, no one comes to the Father but through me." See, it's all about us going to the Father, it's not about us going to heaven. It's about us becoming his righteousness, not about going to heaven. And all his precepts are sure, they are upheld forever and ever. Why are they upheld? Because he has the power to uphold them. That's why I know the Speaker of the House. I listen to his speech. That's great. It sounds good. Everything he was saying was sounding good. But he has no power to bring any of that to... He has no power at all to bring any of that to happen. And so many people are going to put hope in this guy. So many people, oh, well, now we've got a new Republican. We got a new Republican Party. We got a guy that's going to lead us. No, it's Jesus Christ that should be leading us. And he is the only one that has the power to sustain what he promises and what he says. Man has no way to uphold the promises that they make. There's other passages of scriptures that will support that. They performed in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. Jesus came to save the nation of Israel. He didn't come to save you. Is that what you're telling people about Jesus? That Jesus didn't come to save you? He didn't come to save you. That's a lie. If you think Jesus came to save you, that's a lie. God is the one that grafted us in this great redemption story. God's the one that said, you know, I'm going to give this to the Gentiles. Wow. Isn't it amazing when we put scripture out there plainly how it refutes all this religious garbage that's out there? He sent redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever. It's a promise that he made to Abraham. Holy and awesome is his name. We don't use his name in cuss words. I hear it all the time at work. People will say, when something goes on, they'll say Jesus or God or, you know, in a profane way. He's holy. These people were even afraid to say his name because if there was irreverence, they were afraid that God would strike them dead. And religion has made him this big buddy in the sky that he's there for me, instead of Scripture telling us plainly that we're here for him. It's kind of like how we raise kids now. Kids are for us, but our world says we're here for the kids. And so it's whatever the kids want, and we let the kids dictate whatever happens in the family and in the home, instead of the parents being the authority figure in a home and saying, no, this is the way it's going to be. I'm not here to make you happy. I'm here to teach you righteousness. God has given me you as a gift to me to teach you to fear God. But see, that's not taught to our kids. It's a holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So see, this is not just written once in Scripture. You know, I think anything written once by God is pretty darn important. But when it's written several times, there's something he's trying to tell us to make sure we don't forget, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. And if you don't approach God with fear, you're never going to be saved. You can't be. It's impossible because you don't have the wisdom. You don't have the knowledge. You don't have the understanding that God gives. But you have to fear him. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. So now we have to get to the point of understanding that this free gift that you're given is not so free. It's only free in the sense that that it's given to you and you can't merit it. That's where the freedom stops. That's all it is. That's all. That's where the freedom is done. It comes with incredible responsibility. And if you've given that gift of the Holy Spirit, it's not the gift of eternal life in the sense that you do have eternal life through Jesus Christ. But the gift that you're giving is the Holy Spirit that gives you the power to keep his commandments. It's that new birth experience we keep talking about that nobody else wants to talk about. Because when you talk about the new birth experience, which most people have not had, then you've threatened their eternity. And that's why they become uncomfortable. And that's why they don't want to hear sermons like this, is because now, you mean it's not because I got baptized when I was a little kid and didn't know anything about any of this? See, the baptism of John was just about a discipleship. The baptism of John, and I can prove this, because if it has anything to do with sin and redemption of sin and being saved, then why was Jesus Christ baptized? Because he had no sin. He was perfect. He was God's son. So you tell me why he needed to be baptized. See, we don't want to look at the facts of the truth of the Scripture, because we want to listen to religion, because religion takes away the fear of God. There is no fear of God in any religion. Any denomination that you hear, there's no fear of God. When the Bible says, you better fear me. I expect you to fear me. You better, or you can't come to me without fear. And those who will do his commandments, his praise endures forever. Praise the Lord. That's what this is about, is praising the Lord. It's about making the song service is just as important as the message. And if you're not singing at the top of your lungs, if you don't have a heartfelt desire of why you're singing, you don't have that salvation. You don't know what you've been saved from. You don't know what you've been released from. You don't have the fear of God in you. You're not supposed to come here and just sit with this gloom look on your face. We're supposed to come in here with excitement, because guess what? He says, where two or more gathered, Jesus said, I'll be there. And we don't come with that expectation because we don't have the fear. You can't have that without the fear. And without the new birth experience, you don't understand any of this. We have so made church something that you do. And you just go with this apathetic or whatever, apathetic idea of, oh, well, I'm just going to go serve God. God, look, God's going to be proud of me because I came here. No, God's not proud of you because you're here. We don't gain God's merit by what we do. We gain God's merit by what he's done for us. That's through his son, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights, not only obey his commandments, but it says delights in them. His commandments are not burdensome to his children. Then why is it such a burden to come here and worship and praise and prepare your hearts to worship him? See, there better be a fear about this when we lackadaisically come in here with not an eagerness to hear, not an eagerness to be changed, not an eagerness to be the light, not an eagerness to be that ambassador, not an eagerness to be used by God. We ought to be able to almost start trembling now, I would think, in our world today. Good Ecclesiastes, I think he sums it up pretty well in Ecclesiastes. This is in chapter 12, verse 9. In addition to being a wise man, so this preacher here was a wise man. Why was he wise? Because he feared God is why he was wise. It wasn't because he's experienced anything. Is because God revealed himself to him and he feared God or he wouldn't be wise. God would not call him wise if he did not fear him. In addition to being a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge. That's what I'm trying to do, is teach you knowledge. I'm trying to teach you what God's word says and not what man says. Man is not to interpret this for us. God is to reveal this to us. You are not to learn this in a class. You're not to go to a seminary and learn Greek and Hebrew and tell people that if you don't understand Greek and Hebrew, you can't understand Scripture. It's a revelation by the Holy Spirit in your life that gives you the biblical truths. And he pondered. He didn't just haphazardly, okay, well, I'm going to use artificial intelligence to get me a sermon. That's what they're doing. I get stuff all the time. I get all stuff all the time of people writing sermons for me. God will write your sermon. God knows what you need to hear. I don't. But that's where we're at in our world, is that, can you imagine preachers not knowing what to preach? I guess it's hard. It's only one book. I guess you get tired of just preaching the same old thing because what they're preaching is religion. And I guess you get tired after hearing that lie and you keep preaching that lie over and over again. You're just out of words to say. I've been pastor of this church going on 8 years now, and I've not duplicated one sermon. Now I'm patting myself on the back. I'm just saying that God has that much to say. He doesn't have to duplicate the sermons. I've never talked about money because I don't need to. Because if your heart's right, you'll support God's efforts. The preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. How many preachers spend the time to make sure what they're saying is correctly? No, they go to a commentary. And they say, well, I don't know what that means, so I'm not going to ask God to show me through his scripture and spend time in scripture and let God lead me from verse to verse to verse to verse to teach me. It's easier just to, hey Siri, what did God mean when he said to fear him? And then all of a sudden I get, what does it mean to have the fear of God? And then I just go here like, For the unbeliever, the fear of God, it's a fear of judgment of God and the eternal death. Wow, see how easy this is nowadays? It's garbage. It's garbage. The preacher sought. That means he was diligently in his effort to make sure that what he was saying was correct. And to write words of truth correctly, the words of the wise men are like gourds of the masters of these collections and are like well-driven nails. In other words, they're solid. They're unchangeable. God's word doesn't change because our experience in life changes. Our things that we do, how our technology has changed is what I'm looking for. See, we think somehow because technology changes that we can reach more people for God. How's that working for us? I'm just wanting to know how that's working for us. Wise man's heart's growing cold. Why are we getting further and further from God's word and what the truth of it is? Why is our world so evil now? If all this technology you have is working for you, then wow, I don't think it is it? But the words of the wise men are like gourds and masters of collection, well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd. See, that's the key, is it's given by one shepherd, not multiple men and not multiple denominations. One shepherd. One God. One faith. One spirit. You can't have all this garbage that we have. It's impossible. You cannot have all these denominations. It's impossible. It doesn't matter that you say that you're following God if God doesn't say you're following me. See, we're so quick to pat ourselves on the back that we're pleasing to God and not wait for God to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. We're very proud of ourselves. But beyond this, my son, be warned, and I've told you this from the pulpit many a times, and here it is written in God's word. The writing of many books is endless. See, that's what happens when people become a certain a time in their life as a preacher or evangelist. What's the next thing they want to do? They want to go write a book. He says it's endless, and you're going to find out that it's useless. Excessive devotion to books is wearing to the body. Throw your books away that have been written by man. You'll never find salvation through them because that book's not alive. It's dead. It's got man's... Why does man think he needs to write a book? Because God can't be understood? God allows people to understand. I don't care which book you read. All those books that you read are about religion and it's about man's thoughts on God. And Dale puts up there, what's the most books sold or something? The Bible or something like that? He's got written up there as a true or false question, and doesn't any good to have a Bible in your house if you're not reading it. And if you're having to pick up other books to understand this one, you've got religion. You're in trouble. You're absolutely in trouble. If you have these Sunday school teachers, if you have to pick a commentary to figure out to teach the lesson, you're in trouble. Throw those books away. He said he gave you the Holy Spirit as a helper. So the reason you have to do that is because you don't have the helper, you're not using the helper. There's one of two situations, and that situation is either you don't have the helper and you're playing this religious game your whole life thinking that you're okay with God, and when you're not, because you've not had that born-again experience, or you're so prideful in heart that you refuse to use the Holy Spirit in your life. It's wearying to the body. You know what's wearing to the body? Because everyone that writes about the same, you can have a book written about the Holy Spirit and you get 50,000 different ideas about Him. So which one are you going to choose? What is this? You just get to choose what you want? You get to choose what you like? You get to choose what feels good to you? Throw the books away. Get out God's Holy Scripture, and you better watch what version you use. Anytime they've had to rewrite it, there's a reason. The reason man now has to rewrite Scripture is because we're not hearing God. We think somehow we can change nomenclature and get to heaven somehow. It's not going to happen. But beyond this, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless. The excessive devotion to these books is wearing to the body. The conclusion, when all has been heard, is fear God. It didn't stop there. He goes on to say, and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. Fear God, keep His commandments. See, for the unsaved, when you try to do this, you come to the end of yourselves. You find that you're hopelessly, helplessly lost, and you cannot change the nature that you were born with. You can give up bad habits. You can turn over a new leaf. God talks about giving you a brand new tree. That's why new birth experience is so important, and that's why we have to teach that. Because without that, you're lost. And you're going to die and go to hell, and all the efforts of men always end up in the same place. And that's eternal separation from God. All the efforts of men end up in the same place. Eternal separation from God. And eventually the second death, which will men will be thrown into the lake of fire if their name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. For God will bring every act of judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it's good or evil. You see, we have forgotten to tell people why Jesus came. See, we just want to tell them about a guy that was God's son, virgin born, and boy, lived a sinless life, and boy, he's atonement for our sins, and all that may be true, but that's not why he came. We've got to tell them why he came. We've got to tell them that they can't stay where he finds them, that you don't find, when someone tells you they found Christ, tell them you did not, in a loving way, said that Christ found you. So what you have found may be the wrong Jesus. They will become angry. They won't talk to you anymore. But you're responsible to share truth. That's one of those responsibilities with the new birth experience, is that in a loving way you have to tell people they can't stay how he found them. They have to carry out his commandments. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, they have to carry out his commandments and be delightful in it. Boy, I didn't get near as far. I'm going to be gone next week. Is it okay if I keep preaching for another hour? Does anybody have a problem with that? See, now you're so afraid to not say, yes, go on, keep on preaching. I know. Psalms 128, 1 through 4. How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy and it will be well with you. In other words, doing what God says, fearing him, applying his commandments to your life, working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine. See, when the man is a spiritual leader of the home and he takes charge of that and instructs her in how she is supposed to act. Because who's instructing the man how to act? Who's instructing the man how to act? God is. And God has given that authority to the man to be the spiritual leader of his home, not the woman. But when I see now women being the spiritual leader of their homes, that is contrary to God's word. sad that some women have to do that. And thankful that God, that some women do that. But that's not how God intended it. But your wife shall be a fruitful vine within your house, and your children will be like olive plants. They're not going to be perfect, but when the instructions of the Lord and the commandments of the Lord, and you're raising your children under those commandments and teaching them to deny themselves at a very early age, that they don't get everything that they want, and happiness doesn't come from what you have, but happiness will come from who you are. The joy, the peace, the fruits of the Spirit. You won't have the same problems in the households that everybody else is having. Well, I took them to church. What good does that do? What really good does it do to come to church? What does it good to bring somebody who's a natural state to church? Because you got to go back to Scripture. The natural man cannot understand spiritual things. They're spiritually appraised. Those that worship God must be in spirit. You're born natural. First comes flesh, then comes spirit. So if you're a natural man, you can't worship God. I don't get why we're not putting all this together and being honest with people. It doesn't do any good to bring your children to church if the father's not the spiritual head of the house. And open up the Scriptures and leading the Scriptures. You ought to have family worship time together in the Scripture. We used to have a family worship time, and it just, and I'm, of course, I'm a perfectionist, so you see, I want people to have what I have. And we would have the family times, the kids would act up, and I mean, I just got angry. I can't give them what I have. And I had to learn this. I can't give you what I have. But by George, I'm trying my darnest to tell you where you get it at. I work every Sunday to try to get to the point where you can have what I got. It doesn't just come. It's revealed to you, and there's a lot of work that goes along with it. But it's through the work of the Holy Spirit that it's manifested, not our works. Behold, your children are like olive plants around your table. Behold, for thus the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. Better is little with the fear of the Lord. See, when you go to sell your truck, you tell them what's wrong with it. You go to sell a piece of land, you show them what's wrong with it. Maybe you get less for the truck, maybe you get less for the land. But you do that in the fear of the Lord, being honest with folks. It's better to have a lot less in this world and fearing God, keeping His commandments, because His commandments will give you less of this world. Did you know that? Did you ever think about that? Keeping God's commandments will give you less of this world. And we'll close at Proverbs. I just want to get through these Proverbs. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life. The fear of the Lord leads to life. You can't have all the religious stuff that goes on is all fake. Because none of it begins with fear. It begins with love. God said it doesn't begin with love. It says it begins with fear. Religion says it's love. God says it's fear. We better begin to learn to fear Him. I didn't get through all of it. I really wanted to get through all of it. But God's timetable is not in an hour. I left the passage of Scriptures in the bulletin for you to look at. I'm not going to be here next week or the following Sunday. Terry and I are going to go on a vacation, which we much need. time of refreshing, time to look and make sure. What we do on vacation is I spend my quiet time out on a balcony and just marvel at God's creations, and I ask Him each day, am I doing the right thing? Am I preaching the Word? I know sometimes it sounds like I'm yelling at you, but I'm not. I'm just passionate about this. I want you to get it. I know I can't give it to you. I'm learning that over time, that I can't give you what I got. But would you rather me stand up here and say, fear the Lord? He says you will go to hell if you don't fear Him. I mean, no passion, no nothing. I mean, God has given me a passion for this, and I want you to have that passion in life, because that's the only way to get through life, is through the passion of God in you. Life is hard. Life is tough. Life is difficult. Life throws us curves. And most of the time, it's because we've been disobedient to His Word, because we've listened to men for so long, and we've allowed them to lead us astray and give us a false God and a false Jesus and a false relationship, which leads to heartbreak and leads to emptiness. And I don't want that for any of you all. I don't want that for your children. He's the only one that can give this to us, not man.